welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 26. First off, I want to thank you for joining me today. I appreciate your support and interest in the Essential Tennis Podcast by downloading this file and by listening to it. You could be choosing to do anything with your time, and by choosing to listen to this podcast, you're supporting my efforts, and I really appreciate that. I'm really enjoying the podcast more and more, the more I keep on doing it. It's a great way for me to get out there and kind of become exposed more to the tennis community at large, and it's a way for people to enjoy tennis more by continuing to improve their game and learn more about tennis. The more you know about tennis, the better you can become at it. The more good information you receive and the more hard work you put into your game, the easier it is to improve. And that's my goal here at the podcast, is to give you as much good information as possible so that you can go out and work hard and improve your tennis game, whether it has to do with strategy or equipment, the mental game or fitness or technique. It's my job to give you good information, and that's what I'm going to do today. Well, first of all, I've been talking about the U.S. Open the last two podcasts, and I'm just loving the action here. This is my first Grand Slam tournament where I have satellite TV, and I'm just loving the coverage. I've been watching tons of it, and I hope that most of you guys out there have had a chance to sit down and at least watch a couple matches as well. It's been very enjoyable for me. When you really have a passion for anything but a sport like tennis, and you get to watch the best in the world perform at what you love and what you're trying to get good at, it's just really a pleasure to watch. So many incredible players and people that you never heard of, people that other players, professional players, have never heard of, can come out and have an incredible day and challenge the best in the world. And it's just really a treat to watch. A couple of quick highlights here. It was good to see Roger Federer playing a little bit better in his last match against Stepanek. He hasn't looked very sharp so far in this tournament, and just not very confident, kind of going for his shots, but making a lot of mistakes, a lot of unforced errors. I think two matches ago, he actually made 27 unforced errors in one set, in the second set, and just hasn't looked sharp. And in his match against Stepanek the other day, he, for the first time, looked a little bit more comfortable, so that was good to see. And then last night, which was the 31st, Sunday night, there was Djokovic and Cilic playing each other. And that was just an awesome match. The first two sets were just some of the best ground stroke hitting I've ever seen. It was incredible to watch. Both of them were breaking their serves, each other's serves, back and forth. And it wasn't from lack of good serving. It was just they were both just on fire from the baseline. And really enjoyed watching that match until I finally had to go to bed. And I was happy to see that Djokovic was able to pull it out in the end. Hopefully that wasn't a spoiler for anybody, but I'm sure by the time you listen to this, you will have found out that Djokovic won. And on the women's side, things have gotten pretty crazy. A lot of the top seeds have fallen out. And both the Williams sisters are still in, however, so got a good chance for an American win on the women's side. So I'll be watching that closely as well. As you guys watch, let me encourage you. I've been talking a lot recently about the forums as well at EssentialTennis.com. It's really a lot of fun. And let me encourage you guys, once again, head on over to EssentialTennis.com and go to the forums. We've been having a daily discussion, at least daily discussion, if not match by match discussion, about the exciting matches going on in the U.S. Open. So if you have been watching and you're following it and you want to chat and discuss different matches with other tennis enthusiasts and people who love the game like yourself, it's a great place to go to go and read a couple different viewpoints and opinions. And we're having a good time talking back and forth. And we have at least one separate discussion for each day at the Open. And we're discussing the different matches and players. So go over to the EssentialTennis.com forums and sign up there. And while you're there, you can also register for the contest I have going on. This is your last week to enter in the photo contest. Post a photo of yourself listening to the Essential Tennis podcast in a creative and entertaining way, and you could win a free set of Strain and a free book by Vic Braden, Mental Tennis. So you can get details on that contest over at the forums as well. All right, let's get on to the content for today. We're going to discuss how to make more volleys, how to avoid making mistakes with your volleys in coming up to the net. Last week, we talked a lot about serve and volley, and today we're going to spend some time talking about volleys specifically and more technique discussion. Last week, we talked more about strategy and general play as far as moving to the net in doubles, and today we're going to talk more about actual technique having to do with your volleys. We're also going to talk about going for more volleys in doubles when you're the person at the net. And if we have time, we're going to discuss a specific question from a listener having to do with his equipment choices, his choice of strain, and his choice of racket as well. So that's what we have on the docket for today, and I'm looking forward to getting some good content out there.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
All right, let's get started talking about our focus topic of the week, which is volleys. How do you put more volleys in play? And we're going to talk about technique. I've been looking forward to answering this question because I love to volley myself. I try to get to the net often, and it's something that I'm always encouraging my students to do as well, definitely in doubles and even in singles a lot of times. As well. I love the net, and it's a great way to pressure your opponents, make them try to hit a tough shot instead of staying back and letting them feel more comfortable and giving them more court to work with. However, it's very important that you know how to volley correctly. So we're going to talk about technique today and how you can put more volleys back in the court in play. Our question that tipped this off was submitted by Caroline in Maryland. And she wrote to me and said, when I am at the net and I try to end the point, one of two things happen. If I try for an angle shot, it ends up too wide. If I try to go down the middle, it is too long. I've tried adjusting by slicing more instead of hitting flat, and that has not really worked. Help. All right, Caroline. Well, thank you very much for the question. And I happen to know that Caroline plays pretty much exclusively doubles, so that's why she's talking about either trying to angle or go down the middle, and typically those are your two best choices once you do get up close to the net. So Caroline, I'm glad that you are getting to the net and you are trying to put the ball away and finish the point, and let me encourage you to keep on doing that. And don't be discouraged and stop coming to the net. And so it's important that you do keep coming to the net and improve your volleys, and you will start winning a lot of these points. You will make mistakes at first, but good thing that you asked this question. We're going to go over this, and we'll give you the information that you need to be able to keep these in play more often. Well, first of all, let's talk about a couple basics on the volley that need to happen. If you want to have a good volley, forehand or backhand, there's a couple universal truths that you need to be good at. First of all, you need to have an open racket face. For the vast majority of volleys, your racket needs to be angled upwards at least a little bit. Very rarely are you going to be close enough to the net, and very rarely is your contact point going to be high enough that you can actually close your face and have your racket facing perpendicular to the ground, meaning straight, or actually closed, meaning your strings are facing down towards the ground, usually you're going to have an open face to make the shot over the net. This is because we don't have the time to make a big long swing at the ball because we're close to the net and the ball is getting to us quickly. And so rather than lift the ball over by making a long swing, which is what we do on the baseline, we need to be able to make the ball over the net with a much shorter swing to make up for our lack of time. And so because our swing is much more compact and much shorter, we need to open the face up to make sure the ball gets over the net to the other side. Hopefully that makes sense. Secondly, you need to make sure that your hand stays relaxed. The vast majority of the time, you need to have a loose and relaxed hand. A mistake a lot of players make is using their hand and their wrist and their forearm to actually hit the ball on their volleys. And that takes away your touch and your feel. Rather than doing that, you should be using your core and weight transfer into the point of contact to actually strengthen the shot and to power your volley. Everything from your shoulder down, meaning your forearm, your wrist, and your hand, should stay relatively relaxed and loose so that when you do make contact, you're able to control how firmly or how softly you make contact with the ball so that you can actually control where the ball goes. If your hand is moving around and actually hitting the ball at contact, you're going to get a stronger shot, but you're going to lose most of your control over where the ball goes because your racket face is moving all over the place as you're trying to make contact. That makes it very difficult to be consistent, and it makes it very difficult to be accurate. Not only that, but a lot of volleys that you hit when you get close to the net or on your way into the net are going to be lower shots. You're going to have good touch to make a low volley. And so if you don't know how to relax your hand, that makes it very, very difficult to make a low touch type volley or an angle volley, which Caroline asked about and we're going to get to in a couple minutes. Now, Caroline, when anytime you miss a volley, there's two main variables at play that determine exactly where the ball goes. One is how open your face is, exactly how much angle you have on your strings. And the second is how firmly or how relaxedly you actually make contact with the ball. I guess firmly and softly would probably be better words. So how open the face is and how firmly you meet the ball is going to determine exactly how the ball is going to travel. Now, if the ball goes long, and both of your problems here are the result of the ball going too far. You said when you try to angle it, it goes wide. When you try to go down the middle, it goes long. If the ball goes too far, you can fix that in one of two ways. You can either close your racket face more, which decreases the angle on the strings, and so the ball is not going to travel as far. That will keep the ball in play more, or rather, it'll keep the ball from going so far, and so you'll be able to keep the ball inside the lines more easily. Or you can keep your racket face the same, and you can relax and soften your grip at contact. That will keep your racket face the same. Your strings will be at the same angle, but by relaxing your hand more, you're not transferring so much energy into the point of contact, and so that's going to take some pace off the ball, and the ball will not travel as far. And basically, those two variables are what control the ball flight, and they play off each other. You can get a lot of different results by changing and playing with the racket face, how open or closed it is, and how firmly or how softly you make contact by changing the actual tension that your hand is, rather the actual tension that your hand has around the grip as you make contact. Now, which is best, meaning either the racket face or relaxing your grip, is going to be determined by the actual situation that you're in at the net. And this is very important to understand. There's no one way to fix this. It's going to be determined by exactly where you are on the court and what type of volley you're hitting, if it's a high volley or a low volley. And I'll go over a couple of situations here to give you some examples so that you can understand exactly how those two variables play off each other and how you can use them to keep the ball in play. For example, if you are close to the net and you're making high contact, if you've done a good job moving in and you're well inside the service line, let's say six or eight feet from the net, you've closed in well, and you've been rewarded by getting a high volley, meaning you're making contact over the height of the net, and you're able to actually hit at your opponent's side by looking over the net and hitting at their side. If that's the case, then you can close your face more and be more firm. And Caroline, if you are getting close to the net and you're trying to angle the ball off or put it away down the middle, this is what you need to do. Your racket face has to close more so that the ball doesn't go so far. And if you're going down the middle, you really should be aiming kind of right in the middle of the court, literally, like right around the service line at the middle tee, so that it goes in between your opponents. And even if they do reach for it and get a racket on it, it's going to be low to them so that if they do get it back, they're going to end up popping it back up in the air again. And you can go ahead and go back and attack once again until you put the ball away. So if you're close and making high contact, you need to close the face more. And because you're looking down at your opponent's side, you can be more firm with that and more aggressive. So the two variables need to change. The face needs to close and you can be more firm. That will keep the ball inside the court when you're close and contact is high. Now, let's say that you're around the same spot on the court, maybe around the service line or closer, even if you're in close to the net, and you're making contact below the level of the net. So now you're making contact with a low volley, and the ball is not up high where you can actually see the other side of the court. You can't hit at the other side of the court. This is the complete opposite of the first volley we talked about. Now the face has to be open more than usual, because if it's not, the ball is going to go into the net. You have to put more angle on your racket face, because if you don't, the ball will go straight and it's not going to make it over. So the face has to be more open if you're making contact with a low volley and you're relatively close to the net. Let's say inside the service line, maybe halfway up to the net. And the tricky part about this volley is you also have to be relaxed. If you open your face up enough to get the ball over the net, and you're halfway up to the net from the service line, and it's a low volley, if you open your face up enough to clear the net correctly, and then you hit that volley firmly, it's going to go too far. The combination of the open face, which gives the ball more height and more loft, and a firm contact is going to make the ball go up into the air and keep on going. It's going to miss if you open the face and then hit the ball firmly. Now, these are all relative terms, obviously, but you just need to understand how the two factors work together and what the difference is between these two general types of volleys. So when you get that low volley and you're close to the net, your face has to open and your hand has to be relaxed. If you hit firmly with an open face, even from below the net, the ball is going to go too far. So if you're, Caroline, if you're close to the net and hitting a low volley and it goes too far, you need to relax more. You don't have the option of closing the face more, because if you do that, the ball's not going to make it over. So keep the face open, but to keep the ball in play, you need to relax your hand. That will keep the ball in play. The last example I'm going to give is contact with a low volley from behind the service line. And oftentimes you're going to have to make a half volley or a volley from behind the service line on your way into the net after hitting a serve or hitting a return. And you have to know how to make this shot. If you're making contact with a low volley from behind the service line, you're deeper in the court. Now the face needs to be opened and you have to hit more firmly. If you open the face and you're too relaxed, the ball is not going to make it. Or obviously, if you close your face, the ball is not going to make it. In fact, let's be clear on that. Either way, if your face is closed and you're making contact with a volley from behind the service line, you are not going to make that shot. The ball is not going to make it over the net. So this is where you have to have good technique, and the racket face is going to have to be open. If you're making a deep volley, you had better have your face open. Now, in general, we're probably going to want to hit this ball firmly with an open face because we don't want to sit up a short, easy shot for our opponents. If you're, for example, serving and volleying, you've hit a serve and you're coming forwards, what you're not going to want to do is hit your first volley up and hit it short. That's going to allow the returner to come in, let it bounce, and then be able to be aggressive and try to hit it past you and your partner up at the net. So we're going to want to keep this ball deep so that we can keep them back behind the baseline. Or if your opponent is trying to come in, we can hit it firmly and deep enough so that it goes at her feet and it's not going to sit up too much and give her a high volley or a shot that bounces that's easier for her to take a ground stroke on and put it away. So hopefully those explanations make sense, Caroline. Whenever you miss a volley, it's going to come down to one of those two variables: the angle on the racket face and how firmly you make contact. In some of these cases, you can change either or. You can change either one to put it in play, as with the example of the high volley when you're close to the net. With some of these, you don't have a choice. For example, the low volley when you're close. The face has to be open. You can't close the face. And so you have to know how to have good touch and relax in order to keep the ball in play and not have it go too far. And lastly, Caroline, let me just remind you, I'm sure you know this already, but just as a general reminder, remember that when you do go for that short angle, which is a good volley to know how to hit, and I'm glad that you're attempting it to put the ball away, realize that when you do angle the ball at a short angle, you have less court to work with. So don't try that shot unless you're able to either relax and hit it softly enough so that it does stay in play, or don't hit it until you get a higher shot that you can close your face on more so that you have a better angle to actually hit at the court where you don't have to have such good of touch to keep the ball in play. So just remember the racket face and how firmly you're making contact are what's going to determine how far the ball goes. And that's what's going to help you keep the ball in play. Hopefully those things make sense. And Caroline, I'd love to hear back from you and let me know if that answers your question fully. And if not, I'll be happy to give you a hand further. Thanks for the question.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on and continue with our focus topic of volleys. This question comes from Darius, and he submitted this question on the Essential Tennis forums in the podcast section, and we actually had a good discussion in the forum as well about this, but I thought it was a good topic and wanted to include it in the podcast. Darius wrote and asked, "In yesterday's match, I found myself at times just staring at the ball as it goes cross court past me, despite reading the Tennis Attitude blog. This is most likely a mental focus issue and ended up being the final point in my resulting loss for the match. Lesson learned, be more aggressive. So my question is this: should the net player always go for the volley potential shots? Would there be times that the net player would let the ball go other than the obvious reason that it would be too far to reach?" Darius. Well, Darius, I already answered this kind of briefly in the forum, but we'll go ahead and go over it here in the podcast because it's a great question and something that doubles players need to be clear on. And we're going to use up the rest of the podcast time on this question here today. And Brian, we'll get to your equipment question on podcast number 27. Now, first of all, if you're in a one-up, one-back position with your partner in doubles, understand that the net player is in a position of power. They're the person in a better position as opposed to the person who's back on the baseline. Whenever you're close to the net, it means you're close to your opponents as well, and it's easier to put the ball away. You have more options, both because of your closeness, which gives your opponents less time to react to your shot, and also in terms of what type of shots you have available to you. When you're close to the net, it's easier to hit down at your opponent's side of the court because you're able to actually see over the top of the net and into your opponent's side. So you have more opportunities to be aggressive in the first place, and your opponents don't have as much time to react to your shot. So it's a much better spot to be in if you want to try to put the ball away and play proactively and aggressively, which is what I always teach my students to do. Now, you should be going for everything that you can reach and hit comfortably. That means that you should have a mindset of every ball is mine. I want you to go for as much as possible that you're comfortable hitting. And we're going to talk specifically about what comfortable means a little bit later. But in general, I want you to have an aggressive mindset. If you're the person up at the net, you need to make things happen. Don't get suckered into just being complacent and staying on your side of the court and kind of having a mental attitude of, well, I'm going to cover my side and here I am. All right, I'm going to stay here and this is my spot. That should not be the attitude that you have. When you're the net player, you need to be aggressive, you need to be active, and you should be making your opponents uncomfortable and wondering what the heck you're going to do next. If they know you're going to stay and you just sit there and stay home on your side of the court the entire match, you don't pressure them whatsoever and you're not doing your job. So I don't want you to have any wimpy thinking where you're staying on your own side and playing it safe. And also, don't worry about disappointing your partner. A lot of times at like beginner up through probably 3.5-ish level of doubles, people actually kind of take it personally when you go for a ball at the net and miss. They'll act disappointed and say, oh, why'd you go for that? That was my shot. It was on my side of the court. Honestly, guys, that's a crappy attitude. First of all, you should be very supportive of your partner at all times. And second of all, they need to realize that by you going for the ball, if you are closer than them to the net, you should be going for it. Because you're closer, you're in a better spot to put the ball away. And so it's good tennis and good doubles for you to go for it if you are the person who's close to the net. Now, I'm not suggesting that you keep going in spite of a partner who's complaining to you. You don't want to get them angry and disgruntled and, you know, have bad blood between you and your partner during a match. I'm not suggesting that. But realize that when you're playing with somebody who goes for the ball, understand that that's good tennis. They should be going for it if they're closer than you. Don't get bent out of shape if they go for it and miss. Their strategy was good. They just need to execute better the next time they go for the volley. Now, let's talk about exceptions, and let's talk about what comfortable means. I don't want you to go for a volley, and you mentioned, obviously, if you can't reach it, don't go for it. But there's a couple other times where I wouldn't suggest you go for it. I'm not saying that you should be going for every single shot that's hit. There's some times where it just doesn't make sense because it would put you in a bad position. I don't want you to go if it puts you in a position where you can't make the volley often. You should be able to hit a consistent volley back at your opponents. So that means if you're not good at making low volleys and the ball is dipping, you're moving towards the ball and it's dropping, it's already crossed the net and it's dropping down and it's going to be at your feet once you get there, you might want to think about letting it go and having your partner go ahead and get that shot. If you're not good at making low volleys, that's something you need to practice so that you can go and take that shot. Also, you can get closer to the net and not have the ball be as low either. That's another option to be able to be more aggressive. The farther back you are waiting for these volleys, the more often the ball is going to be at your feet. So I don't want you to go for it if it's going to mean putting yourself in a volley situation that you can't comfortably make a majority of the time. If you can only make a low volley under control 4 times out of 10, then obviously it doesn't make sense for you to charge over and take a low volley. Also, if you're not good at controlling your volleys when you're stretched out and reaching, if you don't have good control over the ball and you're just not good at keeping your balance and staying under control in general, then obviously it wouldn't make sense to go charging across the net to get a ball that you can barely reach. Now, myself, I'm around a 5.0 player and I love doubles. I go for whatever I can possibly touch, basically. I love to volley. It's one of the best parts of my game. And I can hit a good volley completely stretched out. I can hit a good challenging volley all the way down at my feet. Even if I'm close at the net, I have good enough touch and hands that I can angle it off or play it softly back at my opponent's feet. If these aren't shots that you're comfortable making, then I wouldn't recommend to you that you go and put yourself in those situations just because you're closer to the net. So I do want you to be thinking aggressively. I do want you to be thinking that every ball is yours, and I want you to have the mindset of being prepared to go for every ball possible. But on the other hand, be selective. I don't want you to put yourself in bad situations where you're going to make a lot of unforced errors. So I want you to have an overall mindset of getting as comfortable as possible with each type of volley. So Darius, if you're not comfortable with low volleys, or you're not comfortable stretching out, maybe you're not comfortable with a high backhand volley, then I want you to have a long-term goal of getting as comfortable with those as possible so that you can be confidently crossing for whatever volleys are available so that you can be a good doubles partner. Crossing over helps your partner if you're good at the net. If you're constantly putting yourself in a bad spot, then obviously you're not helping your team out much. If you're constantly popping the ball up and missing your volleys. But if you can learn how to hit those volleys well, or if you can be selective enough to only go for the shots that you know you can make consistently, then you're a big asset to your team. You're pressuring your opponents, and you're being proactive and aggressive and taking matters in your own hands and taking care of business. And that's the kind of doubles I want you to play. Okay, that does it for the Essential Tennis Podcast today, episode number 26. I always end up going a little longer than I think on those, on answers to questions like that. So didn't quite get in as many questions as I wanted today, but hopefully what I went over today was of use to you guys listening, and hopefully it was informative and instructional, and hopefully it can be a help to your tennis game. Just quick reminders one more time, watch the U.S. Open. It's great experience to see the best in the world playing, and it's just a lot of fun to watch the people who do it best. Also, make sure you go on over to the Essential Tennis forums. You can chat with us about the Open and different players and matches. And make sure that you enter the contest as well if you'd like a free set of Strain and a free book by Vic Braden. Okay, that does it for this week, on Monday anyway. Look for another podcast on Thursday, which is the 4th. I'll have Essential Tennis Podcast number 27 out on the 4th. Hopefully we'll have Jeremy on that show talking about some equipment issues, and I'll answer some listener questions as well. So thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. Have a great week. Have fun watching the Open. Good luck with your tennis, and take care.